Well, I said I was a little disappointed I didn't get the handout for you. I trust you brought your Bibles. I'm going to share with you a passage that is becoming very precious to me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. So find your Bibles, find Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Choose life. That's what it's all about. That's what the passage says. Choose life. As for me, I'm choosing life with all of its distractions. And I still strongly suspect we're only at the start of some tremendous distractions as our country has progressively greater economic problems. And we, no doubt, as individuals, will face extra challenges. But in the midst of all of this, our God will always be on the throne. And for that, we can have confidence and assurance that we are more than conquerors. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. It's the third of his sermons, and it's the last little part of his last sermon. And this is whose sermon? It's Moses. Moses was God's chosen individual to come and lead his millions out of captivity. He leads them all the way up to the promised land, sends in spies. And then the people, the spies first, get scared, most of them, all but two of them. And then the people get scared, and they choose not to go in. And God judges them and sends them into the wilderness to wander for 40 years. This is at the end of the 40 years. A generation has died off. And Moses, at one point, makes a mistake. He got self-focused, and he wasn't following the instructions of God, and there's a consequence for it. And he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land, and he knows it. He's accepted that's God's will in the matter. And he is challenging these people he no doubt had learned to tremendously love, but also have a certain unique relationship with them because they had brought him to frustration to the max. And he is giving them a challenge. And you can sense in his challenge that he's a wee bit concerned that they may come up short. And that grieves him. And so he's challenging them right to the core. The context of the message I just shared. I'm going to read it. Follow along with me. If you have your Bibles, you can do that, or you can follow along up here. I'm just going to read it through 20, and then I'm going to come back and share with you three lessons for life. They're applicable, although he gave that thousands of years ago now. They are as applicable as they were then today for every one of us that wants to live a godly life. See that I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. This is such a beautiful passage. Three three unchangeable truths of life, and the first one is this: life consists of one choice after another. In the latter part of the verse, this little pericope, this section of scripture, 19 and 20, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. In other words, you are going to not be able to say, I didn't understand. You're accountable. You've heard. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, present tense, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, and for he is your life in the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. When I read these verses, I am struck with a man calling them up short and saying, now listen, these are choices, and they have these ultimate results, but you've got to choose day in, day out, to love the Lord, to obey his voice, to cling to him, and to dwell where you ought to dwell. Guess what? That's the same for us. You can be right with God today and be in a terrible mess tomorrow, because tomorrow you may choose poorly. And that's what life is all about. It consists of one choice after another, day after day after day, on topic, after on situation after situation. The Christian life requires us to remain close to our Lord and really is demanding that we be holy like he is holy. And therefore, we are challenged never to make an excuse that, oh, well, no one else is around. No one from church can see me. Well, God sees it all. And we're accountable. Choice after choice after choice after choice. Now you say, wow, I don't know if I can keep that up. Well, the truth is, in and of ourselves, I'm sure I can't keep it up. But I am very aware that our great God said that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And guess what? So can you, if you're one of his. And so what is my point? Where you are today is a result of these choices. You make them, and you're going to make several of them before the night's out, and you'll make all sorts of choices tomorrow. Choice after choice after choice after choice. And my point to us is that every choice we make, we're accountable to the Lord. And we need to recognize that, because we have been bought with a price. The second point: your life is a product of your choices. The situation you find yourself in today, right tonight, at 6:20, is a product of accumulated choices over your life. And you could go back and look at your choices, and you can chart your course to where you are today. That's pretty staggering, actually. You know, a fair amount of people are in serious financial shape tonight. Why is that? The truth is, you could track it back. And there are some choices that you made. It could be choices as simple as this, that you didn't choose to get up and go to work. Or it could be choices that, hey, I'm going to put my money in this way or in this place, and it didn't turn out the way you thought. Notice how it compares 16, Moses did, verse 16 to verses 17 and 18. Notice this concept of accumulated, the product of our choices, how they accumulate on us. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. In other words, choose properly and keep going, and then life will be a multiplication. There'll be a blessing. His prosperity is what he is saying. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel, but prosperity and a walk with the Lord I am preaching. You and I can have a very good life if we'll just do what is right. Choosing to love our Lord and choosing to walk in his ways and choosing to keep his statutes and his commandments, and it will turn out well for you. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have difficulties, but in the midst of the difficulties, you'll have tremendous peace that you have gone God's way. And let me tell you, in eternity, that's what really matters. Now, notice the contrast. First of all, it has this these significant words, but if. And you get the sense that he's assuming that they're going to make some of the but if choices here. But if your heart turns away. And I was fascinated when I looked at it. I'm not a good enough Hebrew scholar to really get into it as far. It would take me more time, is the point. And I'm not good with the tools. But it appears to be the first ones are there. You're responsible for. Your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away. It's passive. You are now the one that's being acted upon. Because you poorly chose up front, sin is that way. You choose, you make a choice, you say yes or no, and you say, oh, I'm going to go for the sin. And it seems like you're in control. But sin is, it grabs a hold of you. And it draws you along then. You lose somewhat of the control because the powers take over, the evil portions of your flesh gets a hold. And you don't have the same control, and that's what it's implying here. But your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. And I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. God is not impressed with people who choose to willfully do what Scripture clearly teaches you ought to. And he is particularly not pleased with those that know it. We are unquestionably told not to lie. You know, we are absolutely commanded to share our faith. Think about that in a broader sense. How many Christians, all of us have been commanded, but how many Christians pass up opportunity after opportunity because it's not right? I'm a little fearful that they may not respond to me warmly. I'm telling you, there's a day of reckoning ahead. We're accountable for these opportunities. We need to take advantage of them. We need to look for them. I think about faithfulness and just attending. We're not to forsake the fellowshipping together. Not just for ourselves, although it is significant for our own walk. It's for the betterment of the whole group. That we might be an encouragement to one another. When we willfully choose to do other than what we know we should do, how often does he say we ought to be in the Word of God and reading it and meditating on it? Well, Psalms 1 would imply that it's a good idea to do it regularly. Yet many Christians will go a week or longer before they sit down and open the Word and look for how they can apply it to their lives. I don't think the Lord is impressed. And he says, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. Now, I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. Moses was talking in another dispensation, but even then, you're saved by faith. But I'll tell you what, I can assure you of this. If you are a genuine believer and you are choosing not to do the things that are clearly taught in the Word of God, your life is not going to be a smooth trip. It may be pretty for a while, but you're going to hit the wall, and it's not going to be a nice sight. 3. Today could mark the start of your new life. Isn't that a sweet truth? It could be the start of a whole nother direction. It also is a choice. Notice what 15 says. See, I have set before you when? Today. As your pastor, the preacher of the hour here, I am setting before you today. Choose wisely. Choose life and good, and not death and evil. Our world, we've got to be tremendously careful not to be conformed to it. We have a responsibility to be renewing our mind that we may be transformed. That's the call. Joshua said the same thing later on to this basically the same group of people. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, some were saying, well, this is kind of hard, I'd rather do some other things. Choose for, who do you choose for? Yourself this day. It really does, in this situation, point to the significance of each one of us taking a look at where we're at and saying, you know what, I got to make a choice. Choose for yourself this day. Notice his emphasis on right now. Whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served or that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, or in whose land you dwell. Then he makes the declarative statement. But as for me and my house, in other words, he's saying, I have determined where I'm headed, and I, as the head of the house, I'm going to do everything I can to take my family with me. Not that he makes the decision for the others. They will all be responsible making their individual decision. But obviously, he would have a great influence, wouldn't he? Just like the fathers and mothers in this group have a great influence on their household. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made the right choice. Have you? Do you need to make it afresh today? Hebrews reminds us of the same concept. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. The urgency is here, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Choose, and choose wisely. 2 Corinthians reminds us that it may be for some in here the day that you need to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Totally surrender to Him. And He said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now. Notice the urgency of that. Now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. 3 unchangeable truths. Life consists of one choice after another. And we can say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things if we're in the Spirit of God. And we are responsible to do so. Number 2, your life and my life is the product of our choices. Don't blame your mom, your dad, your circumstances, your back. You and I chose. But the good side of it is today could mark the start of your new life, no matter where you've been. No matter where you've been, there's always, now I can go the right way. And that's literally his heart's desire. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share this brief challenge. I pray that it would be burning in our hearts, that we would all be confident about choosing, even now, choosing to, with all of our heart, with all of our might, Father, to give our lives over, going forward, no matter what has happened in the back. If we see things in the back that we need to turn to you and repent, we remember your beautiful truths in the Word, that if we'll confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And we claim those promises. And your promise to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, what a blessing. Help us to be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.